Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, Candace. She's going to be moving down to her sister's house next Saturday. Going to miss that voice. Beautiful singing. I want to talk to you about faith. You know, this life is full of troubles and sorrows. There's a lot of things that go on in our life that we have to live by faith. I mean, there's just no other way of doing it. And God, as a Christian, God has given the responsibility that we live by faith. In fact, God said, you please God by living by faith. We have a duty prescribed by God and an obligation to proceed in life in that way, living by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I was reading an illustration the other day about the African Impala. I always liked the Impala, especially the Super Sport. But anyway, 427. I was reading about this African Impala, and it can jump a height of 10 feet. Man, that's getting right up there, anybody. And it can cover a distance greater than 30 feet when it's running it. Every 30 feet it touches ground, man, that's moving, anybody. Kind of like some of you guys drive. Don't listen to Brother Rudy about my drive. He's a liar and he knows it. Yet these magnificent creatures, listen to this, can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo 3 feet. All that compound has to be, that fence has to be, is 3 feet. And those impalas will not go. The animal will not jump if they cannot see what its feet are going to land on. Isn't that incredible? This crazy beast can jump 10 feet in the air when he's running. Bam! Bam! How'd you like to shoot that with a bow, amen? And you have, haven't you, Walker and Wyatt? But anyway. But if you put them in a pen, 3 foot, they will not jump out. They will not jump out. You know, faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And with faith, we are freed from the flimsy enclosure of life that only fear allows and entraps us. There are so many things in our life that entrap us. There's so many things that keep us. There's so many enclosures that keep us from doing what God has intended us to do. One man is quoted to say that if God were to reveal all of us, all of our life to us, we would not have the opportunity to please Him. If God said, this is what you're going to do, and you just did it, it would not please God. In my life and yours, we've learned many lessons through reading the Holy Scriptures and many men and women who serve God. And it seems, though, who please God are those who live by faith. In the 21st century, we American Christians have experienced a phenomenon in that it is easy for us to meet our needs with a little determination, a little grit. We can have what we want to eat. We have shelter from the elements. We enjoy many comforts of life. And so the life of faith that God has called us to do for us that live in the American soil literally boils down almost non-existent faith. I read a little deal. It said this. It says, Uncle Sam is not your sugar daddy. I'll just leave that alone, all right? Many choose to give God a few leftover parts of their already jam-packed life of asking Him to please Him. God does not want a few moments of your faith. He wants the Christian to live full faith. Full of faith. I have a question for you today. How much do you live? How much of your life is made up of faith? What percentage of your existence completely depends upon God? Moses lived a great example. In a life of faith, Moses placed all his life and care in God and followed his word and his will. When you're reading that scripture today, as I read it and you read it in chapter 11 there, it says, verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now, if you back up for a minute and you understand it, that Moses, the little boy, the little Jewish boy that all of a sudden made too much noise. I said this to my amazement. I said, most children can be brought into this auditorium when they are, you know, babe up to 3 months. And then after 3 months, the child gets very verbal. I mean, the ga-ga, boo-boo, ba-da-da-da, and all that kind of crazy stuff that takes your mind off what I'm preaching, and you're listening to that little stinking kid, amen. W.C. Fields used to say, anybody that hates kids and dogs can't be all that bad. And the reason he said that was the children would upstage him, and he didn't want to be upstaged. He wanted to be the big fellow, amen. Maybe that's not a good illustration, but anyway. But the idea of the whole thing is this, that I was saying that, and I noticed a little baby just yelling and crying and screaming, and I said to him, I said, good night. We've got some of the nicest nurseries and nursery workers, and they're prepared and ready. Why do you... He says, you said that I'm supposed to keep this baby in for 3 months, and then out of here. Now, that's not what I was saying. I said, usually, a child could be pretty quiet the first 3 months, amen. But Moses, back to the story, back to the ranch, Moses... With a child at 3 months old, they had to do something to him because they said to kill all the male babies. And so, of course, they put him in a bulrushes and made a basket for him. And, of course, the maid of the Pharaoh's daughter found him and kept him and raised him up as her own baby. First governmental assistance. Did you know the Bible says that she paid that child's mother to feed that baby and to take care of it? There's nothing new on this one, is there? I don't think they have food stamps yet, but anyway. Moses lived a great example of life. And when he grew up, his heart was with his people. And rather to stay with Egyptians, he said, no, I'm going to stay with God's people. And he made a choice, and it was a big choice. Moses placed his life in the care of God. And let me give you three unshakable benefits of living in faith that cannot obtain anywhere else save only faith. A life of faith will guide you forward. Number one, a life of faith, you're taking notes, a life of faith will guide you forward. General Doolittle was a brilliant pioneer in air power. General Doolittle performed the first loop-de-loop ever flown. He calculated his new maneuvers with confidence, with the full knowledge of the limitation of man and his machine. He did not believe in flying by the seat of his pants. You know, they say there's pilots and bold pilots, but there's no old bold pilots. You'll think of that for a little bit. Mathematically and scientifically, he checked out the stress that would be put on that aircraft before he did the loop-de-loop. He had checked it out. He put it down by paper. He promoted flying instruments. He helped develop the altimeter and directional gyroscope. He got the idea of the key of the element of radio beacon that would provide the pilot with a signal showing the exact place of the land. And for years, he practiced instrumental-only landing. many times at the Booton, New Jersey airport, and where they developed radar. And on September 24th, 1929, on Long Island, New York, Doolittle went into the rear seat of the plane and covered it with a canvas hood. Seated in the front seat, safety pilot Benjamin Kelsey held his hand skyward and proved Doolittle was at control, and the plane flew blindly into late aviation history, where he landed that plane without sight, but only instrument. During the 15-minute flight, Kelsey continued to hold his hand up outside the cockpit, and Doolittle steered that plane into 180-degree turns and back to the exact spot where he'd taken off at Mitchell Field. My friend, just as General Doolittle flew his plane by proven instrument panels of the plane, so the true Christian walks the Christian life. It is not sight flying, it is instrument flying. And in our lives, he by faith believed those instruments to be true. And ladies and gentlemen, same way of us Christians, we should fly our life not looking at what we see, but how God sees it, and trust Him in it, and not crash because we thought, but we know. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I need faith, so every morning I need to be reading the instrument panel of life so I know how to fly. Because I'll promise you, if you're living a life by the seat of your pants, you're burning out a lot of times. You're having a lot of problems. You're saying, good night, what's going on? And you just forget to read the scriptures that God said, I will take care of you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be okay. You'll be okay. You just trust me in this thing. You know, some of the worst things that we go through life are usually the best things that we go through life. And some of the easiest things when we're thinking, wow, I'm on cloud nine. Doesn't teach you a thing. Doesn't teach you a thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm not asking you as a Christian to walk stupid. I'm not asking you to fly by the seat of your pants in your life and say, well, I'm going to try this with my wife, or I'm going to try this with my husband. I'm going to try this with these children and see if it works. No, the Bible gives you all kinds of information how to raise your children, how to love your wife, how to protect her, how to give her security. The Scripture is full of that. But there's a lot of Christians, they're full of nothing. I mean, they think that this Christian life is a pie in the sky. They think the Christian life is just, yeah, well, we'll just get through it and we'll just make it one more day. Contraire, my friend, the Christian life is a life of study, a life of belief, a life of trust, a life of faith, a life of challenge that we go to God and say, God, I have no idea how to get out of this mess. You know, there's a lot of things that I know what to do. I can fix them. If something's going on, I've said, yeah, I used to run. Yeah, I know what's wrong with my motor. I know what's wrong with my car. I know what's wrong with my house. I know what's wrong with my furnace, and I may be able to fix it. And then there's some things I know something's wrong, but I don't know how to fix it. But I know someone who can fix it for me. So I got a plumbing job. Not me. Not me. I don't go down to Ace Hardware. Now we got to say big R because Chaplin's here, works there now. I don't like that stuff. I don't like water squirting all over. I don't like, well, anyway, I call the professional. And then there are some things that I don't know how to do, and nobody else knows what to do. That's when you go to God and say, dear God, I don't understand that. And the God says, I will provide a way to escape. I'll help you. I'll give you information. Some things that you're going through right now, you have no idea why you're going through it. some things right now, you're going through some troubles and heartaches. You have no idea. But if you would just allow God to let you go through it. What did he say? What did God say? Our Father, this is how we're supposed to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, all right? So my job, me, we take that out of the quotient because me does not fit there. I am to glorify my Heavenly Father in everything I do and say. Therefore, it's not about me. It's all about Him. And God, I don't understand this, what's going on in my life. Many of you look at this near tragedy that happened last Sunday. And you're saying, dear God, what in the world's going on? But God said, hey, I thought we were supposed to pray, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Last week we had a very animated, wonderful, dear friend of mine, Rudy Smith, who came and preached about the whirlwinds and how that the whirlwinds come in, but they also make inroads to places we would have never got. Chad and his family have met more people because of this. This thing that's happened to my wife 2 years ago, we have learned many things. We've met many people. We've got able to give the gospel many times because of it. Hey, this world is not about me. This world is about Jesus Christ. I am here to please Him. I am here to give honor and glory to Him. I am here to praise His holy name loudly. By faith, these things come by. God didn't ask you to say, hey, it's just going to happen. No, God's not saying that. God has a purpose in everything we do. His providence is amazing. His sovereignty is unbelievable. But sometimes we come up and we say, hey, what am I doing here? What's going on in my life? Why did I come to Malmstrom? Better than North Dakota, fellas, but anyway. I want to show you something. First of all, faith led Moses forward, and he forsook the past. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. He learned that faith led Moses. Here we learn that faith led Moses to refuse being called an Egyptian. He said, I am unwilling to be the next leader of Egypt, though he was heir apparent to that. His refusal to stay, Moses left Egypt in the past forever. I don't want that. Some of you found that. Some of you lived in this old world and says, you know what? I don't want to go there anymore. I remember when I was 21 years old and my wife and I are very serious about getting married. And I came home to my home in Michigan and, sadly to say, I ran with some pretty rugged guys. And when I came home, I'd been in Bible college for 2 years and I looked around, I saw my friends and what they were doing. And I said, I don't want that. That is not the pattern of life that I want to go through. I had been at Bible college. I'd seen men that had given their life to be missionaries and preachers and evangelists. I'd seen people that are Christian businessmen, and I'd seen their change in their life. And I said, that's what I want. I don't want that stuff. I wanted to become a man that I could lay my head on my pillow in peace instead of, oh God, I hope they don't catch us tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, dads,
Hey, dads, that's where you ought to be leading your children and your wife. Pressing toward the mark. Pressing toward the fact that you want them to live for God and not for this world. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the souls of the people were much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is any water, and our souls loathe us this light bread. They hated, they despised the manna that God was given to them. Too bad the rest of the nation of Israel did not pick up the walk of faith as Moses did. Do you ever find yourself discouraged in the way that faith has guided you? You're not alone. The Israelites were discouraged as well. Notice their reaction, murmuring and self-pity. Faith was leading them forward, teaching them to forsake the path, but the Israelites kept their eye on the things of the past. I put in my sermon notes, note, be careful. The farther away you go from the things of your past, the more appealing the past becomes. The other day I was talking to Pastor Dion, pastor of Fairview Baptist Church. He's resigned over there, and I just want to stop in. He's been a good friend of mine. He's pastored that church for 46 years. I said 46 or 47 years. He's 79 years old, but he says, hey. And we're talking, and he said he got a chance to go to the Grizzly game yesterday. Sorry, you Cat fans, but anyway. And he said they won $100 to get into the game. And I said, I said, I played football in college. I'll be honest with you, I'm not really, that's not my thing. And this is what he said. Yeah, brother, but he said, you were a star and I wasn't. I like to go to the games. And I said, isn't that amazing? I said, the older I get, the better player I was. Then I tore him up. I just one day I'd like to go back and be in shape. That would just be good, just to walk from the locker room to the field without stopping and panting. Amen. I see these young guys in our church take off running. Old Sammy Salcedo, man, he can run like a, and Rob and some of you guys, man, you're animals. Amen. I wish I'd met you when you were my age. Amen. I'd tore you up. But see, the older I get, I can say that because I have nothing to prove anymore. I used to have a chest, now I have a sunken one. But anyway. Be careful. The farther you get away from things, the more sweeter they seem. By the way, that's a really big deal about Facebook and some of these things that some of you guys are turning 40 and 50, and you're thinking about the old girlfriends. I think that when you stood before that preacher at that wedding day, you said, forsaking all others. Amen. The day you got married, you should have had all those pictures all torn up and all the notes thrown away. Hello! Just trying to help you a little bit. It's nothing to do with the sermon, but it won't cost you 25 cents. See me after the service. I want to be paid for that. God's Word commands us to stop looking back. Keep your faith forward. Step forward by faith. My granddad used to say, nothing ventured, nothing gained. I'm trying to teach my three boys that. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Step out by faith. You have a chance to do something. You stand there and shiver and quiver and worry, how are you going to make it? Let me tell you about Heritage Baptist Church. When I came here 31 years ago and I found this building, I told some deacons, I said, listen, First of all, I'd prayed and fasted, and God spoke to my heart, this is the place to be. And they bucked me, and they said, what if we go bankrupt? And I'm thinking, first of all, they didn't even have an offering place when I came to this church, to pastor this church. There are 22 people here. They had nothing. They had invested nothing. Nothing. And they're worried about going bankrupt. Are you crazy? This lady said, you can come here. You can clean it up. You can have it. In fact, we'll hold the title for you. Oh, Pastor, we don't want to go bankrupt. Well, first of all, we're in a corporation. Corporations, the people of that corporation don't go bankrupt. The corporation goes bankrupt. And one of the deacons said to the other deacon, said, I'll tell you right now, that brother Shear, he's a shaker and a mover. Either you go where he wants to go, or he's leaving here. Aren't you glad we stayed with it? There's 8 acres here. There's 2 buildings here. God had everything paid for. There's no loan. Wouldn't you like to have that, brother? How many like to have no loans? Heritage Baptist Church has no loans. Everything we've ever done here, it may not be the most beautiful place, but bless God, we're in out of the heat and out of the cold, and we got lights, amen, we got beautiful music. I didn't know that we're supposed to have some great, beautiful, I thought it was a place we could meet. If you're looking for a beautiful church, it ain't here. But if you're looking for people that beautiful hearts want to serve God and want to give their life, you just come here. This is family. Mom and Daddy didn't have a beautiful house, but bless God, Mama sure made some good food, amen. Faith. Well, the Bible says here that we are to face the unknown. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 27. Moses did not literally see God, for no man has seen God and lived. But Moses was able to see God do the impossible through faith. If you have not seen that yet, you have not lived. To have a prayer and say, dear God, this is what I need. This is, Lord, help me. And all of a sudden, it happens. And you go, wow, I can't believe that. Did you know God answers prayer even if you don't have faith? He said, just a little faith of mustard seed. I hate mustard. When I was growing up in Michigan, we used to cut mustard out of our beans and our corn. I hate mustard. The problem with mustard is, their seed is so small, you can't see that stupid thing. But boy, they can sure grow some big old pieces of weed. We just need a little bit of faith. Faith begins where man's power ends. One man said, well, Pastor, I just don't think we can do it. I said, hey, I guess that's where we're supposed to be at, right? Amen? Well, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that or not. Hey, maybe you'll have to use a little faith. That's a novel idea. The sooner we come to the end of our strength, the sooner we're able to live by faith. You got a pocket full of money, you ain't living by faith. But buddy, when you open that thing up and there's nothing in there, I had a pastor in Elkton, South Dakota. The church didn't believe in taking care of their pastor. They sure want a lot out of me, but they didn't want to take care of me. And by the way, I thank God for this church. I mean, you have been so kind to me and my wife. But one day I drove to town to get some things, and I was hungry. That was when I was skinny and I needed something to eat big money. Now I eat just for fun. I pull in pulled in front of this place, and I smelled Nick's Hamburgers. Have you ever been to Brookings, South Dakota? There's a place called Nick's Hammers. It's close to the university there, South Dakota State University. And I'll tell you what, they have the best hamburger you ever ate in your life. And I was so hungry, I couldn't understand it. Man, you can smell it. You ever get so hungry you smell it, amen? And I opened the back seat of my car, pulled it out to see if there's any change in there. And I found only 2 quarters. Put the seat back in there. Never did fit right after that. Y'all had one of those cars. I walked in with my 50 cents. And Dwayne became a very good friend of mine after that. He said, "Hey, Reverend, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good." I said, "I'd like to have me a hamburger." "Oh," he says, "you can't have one hamburger." I said, "Man, I got 50 cents. He says, "Three hamburgers! Put the works on them!" I wanted to do one of these, like this crazy brother does every once in a while. Man, I want to raise my holy hands to heaven and glory to God, hallelujah, and pass the biscuits and double backflip, amen. I mean, I was so tickled. You say, "Oh, that's just a hamburger. You can take what you want, but I'm going to tell you something. God answered prayer and my faith." I have 50 cents. I have one hamburger. If I'd stay there very long, I'd be about 500 pounds, I think, amen. The sooner we come to the end of our strength, the sooner we're able to live by faith. And let me tell you something. Some of you guys are going off, and we're praying for America today. The president could pull the switch again. I don't know about you, but I sure don't like seeing my guys have to go over. But bless God, I'm a patriot. And thank God our men and women can and will. And some of you are going to be left at home and take care of those kids. And it's a difficult thing, and some of you have been there. And God bless you. And Brother Buell and I have been talking about a deal about spouses. When your spouse goes away, that our church some way somehow makes sure that we help you with their lawns and taking care of some things. It's a difficult thing. But that's where faith comes in. "Dear God, I raised my right hand and I took the oath to become a person in the military. And I'm going to trust God that He takes care of me and my family. If you don't, you're in trouble." By faith. I'm reminding the man in Mark chapter 2. He had 4 friends. He was a cripple. And these 4 friends saw the need to bring him to Jesus despite of all the obstacles. That they said the house was packed, that they couldn't get in. One of those crazy guys, they got up on top of the roof and tore the roof apart and put it down in. This is what Jesus said. When Jesus saw their faith, now get it now, their faith. By the way, you ought to have some friends like that. Not the guys who are going down the bars, not the guys going down to the slot machines, not the guy. I mean, you ought to have some good friends that love the Lord and care about your soul. I was reading last week in the Bible said that no man cared for my soul. How sad is that? There's 4 men that tore off the roof. And Jesus said when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Wait a minute. He had nothing to do with it. That's right. Thank God for friends. Amen. Faith followed them to see the way. And Moses saw a way through faith. When life seemed most difficult, God always has a way to strengthen us. He says, "I will not let anything happen to you you cannot withstand." or I'll provide a way of an escape. That's living by faith. The life of faith guarantees you deliverance. One night a house caught fire and a young son was forced to flee to the roof. And his father stood on the ground below with outstretched arm calling to his son, "Jump and I'll catch you." He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. And all the boy could see, however, was flames and smoke and blackness. As can be imagined, he was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept yelling, "Jump! You gotta jump! You're gonna die! Jump!" But the boy protested, "Daddy, I can't see you!" And the dad said, "It doesn't make any difference if you can see me. I can see you!" And he jumped and saved his life. Sometimes that's the way it is in life. Sometimes that's the way in life. You just got to jump. But make sure you're jumping in the arms of the Lord. Everything, everybody will fail you sometime. But there's one that won't. His name is Jesus. By faith. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us today. Lord, there's so much to say about faith. Lord, I ask you today that if there's someone here today, they're in the midst of the smoke and fire of hell right now. They can smell it. They're so close to it. They have never made provision. They've never come to the point in their life that they have said, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I deserve hellfire." They've never said, "Oh God, save me, catch me, Lord." And God, you just keep saying, "Come on, come on, come on, jump, jump to me, and I'll save you." Lord, I pray today if there be anyone here does not know Jesus, not sure they have a home in heaven, Lord, by faith, right today, they would invite you to be their Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. If I was that boy on top of that burning house, and I would have died because of that fire, I have no idea where I'd go. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'd go to hell. I just don't know." Well, my friend, you came to the right place. The Bible said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that word believeth means faith or trust, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, that means go to hell and burn forever, but have everlasting life. David knew about it. The end of Psalm 23, he said, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." John knew about it, young apostle who said this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Jesus said, "I would that none should perish, but all would have eternal life." You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven." But boy, I'd like to know that right here, right now. I want to know that today. With your head bowed and your eye closed, you can pray this prayer to the Almighty God and say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now, right at this spot." And if you pray that prayer, God said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name Lord shall be saved." Why don't you just thank Him right now? Say, "I want to thank you, Lord, for saving my soul and giving me a home in heaven when I die." You're here today and say, "Preacher, today I prayed. Today I prayed and I asked Jesus in my heart. I promise you I will not embarrass you. I'm the only one looking around." You're here today and say, "Preacher, today I ask Jesus to be my Savior." Sure, I'll pray it once more. Just pray this prayer. Say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart. Save me right now. You're here today. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one will look now. I promise it will not embarrass you. I won't point you out. But this is the greatest day of your life right now, September 1st, 2013, that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. You're here today and say, Preacher, that was me. Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. God bless you. Someone else? Say, Preacher, I prayed that prayer. I asked Jesus to be my Savior today. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? Father in heaven, you've seen the hands that have prayed. But you also know the hearts of those who may not have raised their hand but have prayed. Lord, you said that you would not, that any would perish. Dear God, thank you for these who trust you, their Savior, today. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help them. Help them to realize that you're a wonderful God that loved them so much. They've given their life for you, and you've given their life, your life for them. Lord, I pray you'd help us now as we have this time of invitation. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, everyone's standing. No one leaving yet. It'll just be a few moments. But you're here today and you say, Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven yet. But boy, I'd sure like to know. I would like to show you from God's Word what you've done in your heart by asking Jesus in your heart. You know, I was 14 years old, and I was at Southside Baptist Church, East Lansing, Michigan. We were at a youth conference. There were 2,000 kids there, and also pastors and parents. I happened to be, I was 14 years old, I happened to be sitting next to my mother. And my mama thought I was saved. My mama thought I'd asked Jesus in my heart, but I really hadn't. And that day, for the first time in my life, I realized that I needed salvation. And the preacher was preaching, and he pointed that old bony finger right at me. He said, you maybe have a mama as a Sunday school teacher, and your daddy may be a deacon. And he just went on preaching. But he said, and you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. You've never personally invited him. He said, I promise you, you'll split hell wide open. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. He said, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. And before that pianist or that organist can get on that seat of that organ, I was walking down the aisle. And the farther I got, the faster I got going. I'm glad I could stop. Boy, I was glad. And I asked Jesus to be my Savior that day. You're here today and say, Preacher, today I prayed that prayer. I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. I've asked Him to come into my heart. Why don't you come and let me show you what the Bible says. Let me show you from God's Word what you did in your heart today. Why don't you come right now? Just come on. Preacher, today I invited Jesus Christ to be my Savior. You come right now. You're here today and say, Preacher, I've accepted Christ, but I haven't followed in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Scripture teaches they that gladly received His Word were baptized. About 3,000 the same day after they asked Jesus in their heart. If you've been saved and you haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism since that, you're late. Why don't you come and take care of that today? You're here today and say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we believe that God is speaking to our hearts about coming here. Last week, a young family came to our church, and they said, we're just checking out churches. I said, I'm going to pray for you that you make the right choice. I want you to go where God wants you to go, not where I want you to go. I'll tell you what, I want you to come here. There's no question about that. I'd love to pastor you. But I want you to go where God wants you to go. Why don't you come today and say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve at. You come right now. Just step out and come on. One more time, you're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come? Let me show you from the Word of God. We've got trained people in the Word of God to show you about Jesus Christ. Now, Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have to bring forth the Word of God. Help us to be people of faith. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be those who trust in you. Lord, now bless us now as we go to our separate homes. Keep us safe. I ask you, Lord Jesus. Help us as you'd bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.